You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy news! We love good news around here. We love good news when it happens to us. We love good news when it happens to our guests. We love good news when it happens to all of you. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we have some good news, some happy news, a blessing to share. After much discussion, deliberation, and ultimately a unanimous decision, we are pleased to inform you that the Academia Board has decided to officially induct you into the Academia Hall of Fame for having created a musical repertoire that is truly original and for talent, hard work, and perseverance deemed worthy of the highest recognition. That is a marvelous honor that I have received the Academia Hall of Fame induction on September 1st of 2023. The Academia Board has unanimously voted to hereby induct into the Hall of Fame Dawn Karima for musical repertoire that is truly original and for talent, hard work, and perseverance that have been deemed worthy of the highest lifetime recognition. Oh, I thank God for that honor. It is a wonderful blessing. When they talk about lifetimes and Hall of Fame, that's amazing to me because I'm still a young woman. And so it's such a great gift of God that what I have done so far, folks have listened to, have enjoyed, and are honoring. So we're celebrating that happy news, that amazing induction. What a blessing it is. And we're celebrating today. I've been happy all day because I know I get to talk to our guest who is, without a doubt, one of my most beloved people in the whole wide world. To our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I am Dwayne Braveboy. I am Tuscarora from Robeson County, North Carolina.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us today.
I am very honored to be here and to be honored by a recipient of an achievement award like what you've been honored with on September 1st. That is really an honor. That, you know, I think I don't know what it's like to win awards like somebody like you, but I think that from where I am, I think that award would really weigh heavily with me because, you know, all awards, you know, someone acknowledging your talent, your hard work, you know, your vision, you know, that's always an honor. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter how small, if it's one person who says it or if it's a million people who say it. You know, of course, when a million people say it, it feels a little, you know, like, wow, okay, there are more people, you know, seeing this talent in me. But I think that that is such an honor. And I'm so happy for you. But, you know, you've earned it, you know? Mm-hmm. You've earned it all.
Bless you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's a tremendous honor, especially when they talk about a lifetime. And that's
right.
Very, very, very humbling, you know?
Yes, indeed. Especially for, like you said, somebody whose lifetime, you know, you expect a lifetime achievement award to be given to some gray elder,
yeah.
You know? Not somebody who's as young as you. But to have accomplished that by any metric at your age, it's really phenomenal.
Mm, thank you, and I thank you and all of our loved ones who make this possible. You know, all of you have played such an important role in everything that I do, and I'm so very grateful to you and grateful for you. And I get to talk about more happy news. I love it. Because you have a tremendous accomplishment. Oh, my goodness. You have you talk about honored. I was honored to be one of the people who got to see this first. And as I saw this amazing work that you had done, I was filled with hope. I was filled with so much hope that we might be able to decolonize the classroom. We are going to empower our young people. We are going to empower educators and enlighten other parents and children. And you have done a tremendous work, and I commend you, and I honor and bless you for doing it. So will you share your happy news with us, please?
Yes, I have authored a Tuscarora Guide for Educators. That's what I'm calling it, but essentially I think that it could be applied to all Indigenous students, but this is specifically about my people and my home community, where there are so many Tuscarora children mm-hmm. in the school system. Mm-hmm. And so this we were talking, some of the people, other Tuscaroras and I, were talking one day, and it was about how there are more Native American graduate, high school graduate students who are petitioning for the right to wear their tribal regalia
yeah.
or feathers or colors or some such at graduation, which in the beginning of that movement, there was a lot of pushback from a lot of people on that.
Uh-huh.
And so over the years, gradually, we've made more inroads, you know.
Yeah.
The education systems are seeing more and more how important this is to Native American children
uh-huh.
to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some pushback in North Carolina here against...
Yes.
Some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, you know, there are people trying to exclude certain Native American nations
right.
or groups,
right. mm-hmm.
you know. And so I was talking and with, you know, a couple of my people and saying, you know, we really need to have something here. We need, if the faculty and staff, if people throughout the education system or the school system here were able to acknowledge
mm-hmm.
our children in school from kindergarten, you know, K through 12.
Yes.
If they were able to acknowledge them instead of just being an Indian student
mm-hmm.
or some Indian kid or random and... you know, maybe the non-native teachers can't distinguish if this child is Tuscarora or if this child is one of the descendants of the Lakota family that moved into the area, for example.
Right.
You know, so I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write this guide that will introduce our children formally to the school system and give them the opportunity, the educators, the opportunity to learn about the culture that our children come from, because it's not, there's always been this this disparity between the dominant society and Native children in the education system, because, you know, the dominant society teaches the dominant society standards, you know, and they don't, they've never, they don't have a good track record of being able to understand Native American students. So I felt like this was a great opportunity to do this. I felt like now is the time. And so spent some time doing this, and what I've done is, you know, I included an introduction, the purpose of the guide. I included some Tuscarora proverbs. I included a stanza, I guess, of our Thanksgiving address that gives thanks to the teachers, because we're always indebted to the teachers in our lives. And so, you know, there's some basic, you know, common Tuscarora words, you know, vocabulary that they could understand, you know, the teachers, and maybe even use, you know, like, you know, if a Native American, if a Tuscarora student is having trouble with you know, something, you know, if they're being, you know, irascible or some such, you know, or conflicty, you know, they could just say, you know, oh, use the good mind, you know, and, you know, that is something that Tuscarora children are going to understand. I also felt that it was important to include the Tuscarora ways of learning, which really is just indigenous ways of learning. I thought that was important because I think that this is could essentially be the core of this guide, you know, is just letting the teachers know who probably don't know that these are the ways in which indigenous children flourish in learning.
Wow, this is tremendous. You know, you are a truly great warrior, and this is a wonderful, wonderful work that you have done. And I thank you for doing it. I truly do, because I know it will change lives. The lives of children, of course, but also the educators, the parents. That, you know, the good mind is good for everyone. That's a, that's a great thing for children of all kinds to learn. And I love the fact that you took the time to do this and chose to do it so well. So let's start with this. What are indigenous ways of learning? What are some of the indigenous ways of learning that you're presenting to educators?
What I decided to do was put forth 8 points of indigenous academic pedagogy. And one would be narrative-focused learning, storytelling. You know, we are indigenous people are old-time storytellers, you know that. Yeah, and so, and I remember that as a child myself, I learned so much from, you know, someone could tell me to do something, you know, and maybe I didn't understand all the dynamics of doing that thing, but if somebody like my grandfather told me a story, then I could learn from that. You know? So that is one way. Another way is usage of symbols and metaphors. You know, those are things that indigenous children tend to identify with. You know, yeah, metaphors, very, very strong with us, I think. One thing is like tactile, reflective techniques. hands-on sort of tackling challenges that way, you know, by making games or puzzles from what's being taught, role play, demonstrations or performances of the information, you know, that sort of a thing. And taking regular short breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's important. I think that I knew that that was my experience growing up, but, you know, so much of me is, you know, I'm just used to being the odd one, but, you know, I didn't realize that other Indigenous children were also this way, but it's like I can take in blocks of information.
Yes.
And, but I need time to process that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think those teachers, and this is the same way that I teach my language classes.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than dump a ton of information on students at one time and just hammer at them with it and just keep adding more and more and more and never take a break, never take the time to process that information and internalize it. That, I think, is very detrimental and probably just one of the worst things about learning, because we all had teachers like that, that would just pile on the information and never take a break to stop, you know, taking in the information. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, at least with myself, I realized that something that would happen is I may have gotten a book of information in one class, but because it was an information overload, I only retained a chapter of that.
That's right.
Yeah. So then there is land-based learning, you know, emphasizing our ties to the land and, you know, the ancient reciprocal relationship, you know, for the purpose of furthering our land-based traditions and to future generations. And, you know, in an adult way, and you know, in the old days, you know, somebody who was going to be raised to be a medicine person, that education would start young. But, for example, the ways that this is important to us, and maybe not in this context for school, but just a sidebar.
Sure.
Somebody who is learning to be a medicine person, they have to know the land. If they don't know where in their land,
right?
You know, it's, for example, we couldn't send a Tuscarora person over to Muscogee territory,
right. That's right,
or to Lakota territory to learn how to be a medicine person, because the land is different. You know, they have different plants and, you know, medicine plants and such there. So we have to learn that, you know, like the saying goes, bloom where you're planted.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is breaking down complicated concepts into smaller, manageable blocks.
Yes, please. Thank you. Please.
Yes. Yes, I agree. That's also something that I struggled with in school, is if I had a teacher that, say, you know, we all have our areas of expertise and interest and such, but then we have those that are not. And, you know, for people who have always told me, you know, family and such, you know, oh, you're so smart, you're just so, you're intelligent. I'm like, oh, that's because I talk to you about these things, Dan.
Yeah,
talk to me about math, and you'll see how silly I can be. You know?
That's right. I love it. I love that. Thank you for that, because sometimes, you know, we have to be reminded that we all have gifts. We all have talents, and they're all different.
Right. I agree. And so those manageable blocks of information, it kind of ties into what I was saying before. Visualized learning plans, you know, we're very visual people, I think. I feel like you know, I seem to be even hemisphered,
yeah.
You know, right and left brain balanced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a child, I was most definitely right brain dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And so those sort of visualized concepts and such, you know, kind of like, in theory, you could tell me how to do something, but you show me how to do something, and
yep.
I'll never forget how to do it.
Mm-hmm. I can do it, too.
You know?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And that's how I've always learned best. Another one is connectedness to the community. That kind of ties a little bit back into the medicine person situation of having to
mm-hmm.
bloom where you're planted.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That is a way that we learn, because that's our community, our history there, and knowing all of that helps us become a whole person, not just this instrument in a classroom,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, synergistic logic, blending logic and association.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that is important also. That's also a way that, you know, Indigenous children tend to learn well.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
So those are the 8 points that I included.
They're outstanding. I mean, like, oh my goodness. I'm so blessed by those, because so often I think that we have a complicated relationship as tribal people with dominant culture education anyway, right? We have
yes.
a very interesting history. And so when I hear someone actually reclaiming our ways and then introducing them to educators so that our children have a chance at least to be understood and to understand what they're learning, again, there's that swell of hope that I felt when I first read this. I thought, oh my goodness, I have hope now, because so many of our young people are brilliant, talented, have so many gifts, and they have to be taught in ways that will help them. Well, wow, I mean, there's just so much in what you're saying, and it's so beautiful. But I want to talk about community, because I feel like community is a huge part. I mean, tribal people, that is what a tribe is all about. Families, extended
right.
families, building relationships, relations between people. And for a big part of my career, I taught at Western Carolina University in Cherokee Studies and Native American Studies, and I taught in Native American Studies at the University of New Mexico. And we understood, we saw a phenomenon happen that really speaks to what you have so brilliantly written. We saw people who came to college together with relatives, cousins, other people from their reservation. They wanted to take their classes together. They wanted to be in the same sections of classes. They would come and work out their schedule for that semester and try to all be together all the time. And they drew strength from that community. You know, they sat next to each other in class, and they did things together and went places together and studied together. And the students that did that, we so often saw, made it. They succeeded in the class. They came to class more often. They did much better and graduated from college than students who sort of went by themselves to a university, didn't know anyone, and were back home on the Kuala boundary by the end of the semester. So what does an educator need to know about the importance of community to Indigenous children, Tuscarora children?
I feel like that alone is something that educators need to understand, that we are tribal people. We are community-based. We're mm-hmm. family-based. You know, that's who we are. And I think that that is a bit of a contrast
mm-hmm.
to the average person in the dominant society. That's why people in our communities tend to never leave.
Right.
Because of that, because of that need, you know, for family and community.
Mm-hmm.
as to where people in the dominant society, it's baffled me in my lifetime that I have spoken to Euro-American friends, maybe from up in the Northeast, in New York State, and they just speak so casually about, you know, oh, my father's generation, you know, oh, your father has, you know, six brothers and sisters, you know, I didn't know, you know, oh, yeah, they all moved away, you know, like one's in Maine, one went to Los Angeles, one's in Seattle, one's in Denver, and, you know, and I'm like, wow, okay, do they ever, you know, come back around? And, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, we you know, sometimes one of them will come back around, and but we haven't seen others in years. And then I'm like, you know, and then I know about their generation, you know, themselves, that, you know, they've got siblings and cousins, first cousins, you know, who just moved off into these faraway places. And I'm like, wow, I, you know, that's so different from our culture, because we have to have, we'll wither without our families and communities.
Yes, and so you'll see things like sometimes educators will say that Native children have lack of ambition because they choose not to come to weekend activities because they want to be with their families. Or if there's a funeral, you know, all of Cherokee shuts down and everyone goes. And the teachers will say, well, that's just your great aunt. Well, there's no such thing to us, right? That's a grandmother, actually. So we have had, we've been misunderstood a great deal, and that's one of the reasons your guide gives me hope. It uplifts me because it tells me that there is going to at least be an opportunity for teachers to learn more about tribal students, Native students, and how we think and how we feel. And perhaps some of the things that apply to the dominant culture could be understood now through a tribal lens. I'm thinking about, I know many people like this, and I'm sure you do too, who, I had a friend who turned down a promotion at work. And his entire reason was that he would have to work nights and weekends. And his boss saw that as, you know, he's not trying to get ahead. He's not trying to go anywhere. No, he wants to be home with his children and his wife. I know many people, myself included, who have turned down jobs or opportunities because we didn't know anybody there. We thought about that place, and we don't know anybody there. You know, like, you know, there's not a strong community that we can join, or there's not a, we don't have any relatives there, and we want to stay here. We want to be at home. And so I think your guide is an incredible navigator for educators who may not know any of these things and yet have children sitting in front of them that are influenced by this. And we have a chance now to not just have educators educating children, but a chance for educators to become enlightened and educated about something that they may not know. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'm really excited to talk to you more about this because I think this is something that can become a movement. We're seeing ethnic education attacked in school systems all over this, you know, Turtle Island. And we now have a chance, all of us do, for our respective tribes and nations and cultures and identities and history and ability levels and all those things to create guides like this that could help educators educate with a lot more light and enlightenment. So we'll be right back after this message.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run done with those scissors.
It's the least you can do.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I am loving this conversation because I love our guest so much. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, I am Dwayne Brayboy. I'm Tuscarora from Robeson County, North Carolina.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. It's always great to talk to you and to your listenership.
Yes, what a blessing. You are a blessing to us. And what I'm hoping is some of our listeners will be inspired. I know they'll be inspired by what you're saying, but they'll also be inspired by what you have done in creating this guide. So much history is being edited out of classrooms in various districts and various states. How could someone inspired by what you've done for your great people create a guide like this for their particular niche?
I thought about that. It did occur to me. And what, you know, I'm not the type of person to be stingy, you know? I'm not that. I've never been that type of person. You know, I was just telling a friend, you know, the other day that talking about the family dynamic growing up, well, I had this cousin who was just very stingy. He'd get something and hold on to it for himself forever. And nobody else was allowed to have any of it. And I, as soon as I found something good, it was my first instinct to run out and find somebody to share it with.
Yes.
So I'm glad I was born that way. So what I would hope is that, and I'm discussing now with Tribal Council about possibly making the Educator's Guide available for download off of the Tuscarora website.
Yeah.
We're talking about that now. I think it would be a good idea. Yeah. But to answer your question, assuming that will be the case, I would hope that anybody out there, any nation, or any race, who is in a similar situation and they feel like, their children need to be represented or acknowledged, this way within the school system, that they could look at something like My Educator's Guide and model their own ideas after that. Make a guide for their school system that, we're planning on distributing it electronically and hard copy to the school systems. And yes, but I would encourage other people to do so, because I think that, I am a subscriber to the idea that the shortest distance between two people is understanding.
Yes.
And if, and believe me, growing up down home, I know there's a lot of preconceived ideas about Indians.
That's right.
And I feel like something like this is going to counteract that, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe if these educators understand us,
yeah,
you know, they can understand our children. Who knows? It may even endear our children to them, where they may be more patient, and it may challenge them to their teaching styles. You know, they may think of it and go, oh, you know what? I've been teaching my class this way for so long because that makes sense to me. And you know what? I always have children struggling. You know, maybe if I change my style based on this information, let's see what that does, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So hopefully some good like that will come from it.
My granddaddy used to say, he was a World War II veteran, the greatest generation, D-Day, war hero.
Oh,
and he used to say, not enough of us to win a war by ourselves. Allies matter.
Right.
And he would also say, all you've got in life are your friends. If I don't have any problems, that's what he used to say. I don't have any problems if I have the right friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I feel so wonderfully hopeful about this guide for the reason that we can, instead of educators feeling like we're complaining, these are underpaid, they're overworked, they're doing a yeoman's job of trying to teach all these children amidst all these other things that are happening, right? We're coming alongside them and saying, with a guide like this, we're allies. All of us are. We don't want you to have to go and take a university class about the history of a group of people. We'll just supply you with this information. Take a few minutes, drink a cup of coffee, and maybe it'll help you in your classroom.
Right.
And then it gives the teachers and educators and principals a chance to be allies to our children, too. Oh, now I understand. As opposed to disciplining and thinking this is a problem child because they have to move around every so often. Now we're going to give you a short break. And this is a wonderful opportunity for us to create allyship, you know, that instead of the teachers feeling like, oh, these are the problem children, these are the difficult children, oh my goodness, my day is made harder by this, they now have understanding. And instead of parents and children feeling like, oh, the teachers are always coming down on us, the principal's always, you know, got our kids in trouble, here's a chance for all of us to be allies to one another. All because of a guide like yours, and I think that is marvelous.
Thank you for that. You know, and something else that I have thought about in this is that this guide I wrote with the idea in mind of the local school system, the county school system and such, you know. Because Native American students are a demographic group that has consistently been underrepresented in institutions of higher education in the United States.
Right.
Despite tremendous growth in the enrollment of these students in recent years, they're still underrepresented compared to other subgroups.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tuscarora Educators Guide that I authored is based towards K through 12 students,
mm-hmm.
but I also feel like a guide like this should be distributed through the institutions of higher education as well.
Yeah.
Most colleges have Native student groups and even fraternities and sororities. And these help the students, but those students also need to have professors who understand who they are.
Yes.
Maybe the next step.
I'm getting excited. That hope, I can feel it. Because I even think of workplaces, you know, and I'm not trying to make up work for you to do, but I'm just thinking like, you know, there's so many places where I see that this is a gift. You know, there's so many moments when just understanding what someone else does, you know, is everything. And I was speaking with a mother, another preschool mom the other day, and she said, oh, she was thinking that maybe she should make a sort of simple, straightforward guide that would help her son's teachers understand some issues that he has that are some, you know, different ways of learning and some health issues that he has. And this is a dominant culture person. This is not even a native mom. But immediately she was like, you know what, maybe I should make them an explainer, you know, make them a guide that helps them understand her child and what's going on with him, as opposed to just waiting to see if something happens and it goes wrong and then everybody's upset, as opposed to, you know. And that brings me to something I thought immediately when I read your beautiful guide, beyond beautiful, really. It was this. In our old ways, introductions were incredibly important. We would introduce ourselves based on our clans, our tribal homelands, who we were associated with, who our mother was, and our parents were, and grandparents or grandmothers. We placed ourselves in the world when we introduced ourselves. We knew our clans, we knew our land, we knew our relatives, we knew our heritage, and that's how we introduced ourselves. But there was another really important thing that happened in a lot of our tribal cultures, too, that a lot of times you didn't introduce yourself. You were introduced with a protocol. So, for example, in my nation, a young lady would never just walk up to a man and introduce herself. Hi, my name is. It just wouldn't be that way. You would be introduced by your grandmother. You would be introduced in a context that let people know how to respect and treat you. The same thing would come even with children. Children would introduce themselves with their parents and grandparents. And being introduced to someone is a very different experience than just meeting them. You just run into them and start talking, or you just meet them.
Right.
And what I see your guide doing is going back to the old paths, which, you know, when in doubt, seek out the old paths. And you know me, indigenize everything. So
right.
When I see this, it's not just your child appears on the first day of school with the right forms and paperwork in hand and a backpack and school supplies, and then it's just, goodbye, good luck, hope you make it through this system. This guide
right.
is their introduction. It is
yes.
people in their family, their relatives, saying, these children belong to us. These children come from this. These children are kin to these people. These children are not just alone in this system.
That's a wonderful thought. I like that. I like that perspective. I love that, really. Thank you.
Thank you for doing the work of it. As you were writing this guide, did you find any healing for yourself?
Yes. It's really interesting that you would bring that up. And I didn't realize it at first, and maybe it was something that was buried inside me. But after getting maybe 75% way through with this guide, I realized that it felt like there was just something, you know, going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I realized that this is what I needed growing up.
That's right.
You know? Because there's so much that is in this guide that applied to me as a child. And I wish that my teachers
mm-hmm.
understood these things about the culture I come from, and therefore me, when I was going to school. There was some reconciliation and healing with me.
I really appreciate you sharing that with me, because that's what happened as I began to homeschool. When I started to homeschool our preschooler the other day, he put both hands, one on each cheek, and he said, I like to learn here.
Oh.
And I told him how wonderful that was, and then I laid in bed last night and I cried.
Oh.
Because I didn't like school. I mean, for all these degrees and accolades and everything, I'm sure many people are shocked to hear that, but it was a very colonial place, you know, a kill the Indian, save the man kind of place. For me, and
oh, yeah,
really awful. School was terrible, and I hated it, and it was traumatic. And to hear my son say that he likes to learn here is amazing and wonderful for me. And I want him to pass that on, that love of learning, and not have any of the colonial baggage attached to it. So that's why your guide.
What a successful mother you are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. That means the world to me coming from you. Thank you. I think that your guide is going to help a lot of other parents feel more successful about their children's learning experience, too, instead of them getting to 16 and dropping out, right, because they didn't like
right.
it, they didn't want to go there, or right. flunking out, or constantly ending up in discipline problems and detention. This is going to be healing. It's going to be preemptive. You know, I believe the Creator believes in prevention. He'd much rather prevent problems and tragedy. He'll heal you, he'll help you, but he'd like to prevent them, and that's what I see your guide doing. So it would help us so much if someone is thinking right now that maybe, just maybe, they need this guide. Maybe they don't know what they should know about the children that are in their care or even in their community or whatever. Is there a way for them to see it? Is there a way for them to experience it?
And I apologize. There was some disconnect on the phone. I didn't hear the first part of your question. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, if there is a family or an educator that would like to see this guide or experience it, is there a way for them to see your guide or to read it?
Oh, okay. Well, as of today, I'm not really sure. I think that once we get it distributed in the school system, mm-hmm. it's probably going to, I expect it'll make its rounds.
Okay.
And people in my community are going to know about it. But that is also why I've been discussing with Tribal Council about making it available for download on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there yet, but I hope that it will be available for download that way. Because like I explained to them, what if somebody loses their copy?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they want to get another one. They could just download it. What if somebody in Arizona or Manitoba,
yeah.
you know, might mm-hmm. want to look at the guide and maybe fashion their own guide
mm-hmm.
after it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Well, then they could just go to the website and download it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. I want that to happen. And, you know, I believe that it will. So as of today, it's not available for the public at this moment, but I expect that in the near future, it probably will be.
That's awesome. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I would love it, Ben, if you would help our friends who are listening. If they are thinking right now they'd like to create a guide like yours, or they'd like to somehow introduce their particular nation, tribe, culture, ability, identity to other people, what is the most important thing that they can put in that guide?
I think that the most important thing they could put in their guide is an explanation of who they are as people today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that first, you know, again, back to the point of understanding, you know, two people understanding each other. I think that once somebody can understand who this person or these people, this group, who they are, they can understand. Everyone in that group, you know, by and large, you know, as a people, you
mm-hmm.
know, they can understand them better. And therefore, the good things, the compassion, the understanding, the allyship, you know, all that I feel can stem from that. So, you know, of course, that is not always so simple to just put in one terse paragraph.
Right.
You know, for example, in the guide that I wrote, I put a good page and a half maybe 2 pages it was, of our history. Our history as it applies to Robeson County, North Carolina,
right,
and northeastern North Carolina, where we were before we migrated there. You know, I included about that history and about the intergenerational trauma or the historic trauma of that. You know, I feel like, especially the non-native educators, they should really understand that, because understanding the historic trauma that, you know, we're really still suffering from, will help them understand our students, our children. You know, that was important to put that in there. Of course, and there's some supplemental things that I had put in there, like, you know, our relationship to the three sisters, the, you know, importance of deer in our culture, at least traditionally. You know, some ideas for the classroom, things that they might be able to do with our students that would facilitate learning. You know, some supplemental stuff, but the important things that I feel are at the core of what the educators need to know, it wasn't buried. I put that front and center.
Right. Oh, my goodness. What a great work you have done. I hope other people have thanked you for doing it, but just in case, I want to say thank you to you for doing this great guide.
Well, thank you for saying so. And yes, I have. Everyone who has seen it so far, council, our educators, you know, we have one of our women, Lacola Cook. She is Chief Cecil's daughter, and she is she's assistant principal at Magnolia. So, you know, and she's an old friend and just a wonderful person. And so, because she is, she's been an educator and now an administrator at a school, I really wanted her opinion. And she is very affirmative about it. And so, you know, getting her approval was very important to me. Getting your approval as an educator and as a mother and as an Indigenous person, you know, that was very important to me, too.
Thank you for that. Thank you for including me and honoring me by allowing me to be part of that process. And thank you so much for being here with us for this conversation. I have loved everything you shared with us, and I know our friends listening have too. And I thank you for caring about our future generations, and the learning that they are doing.
And I respect that in you too. I love you for respecting, you know, the children, being such a wonderful mother, raising your child right. You know, inspiring other mothers to, you know, do the wonderful things that you're doing. So thank you, too.
Thank you. We love you. We love you so very much. And we appreciate you always. And we love our friends here.
And,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
Just going to say I love you and all of y'all, too.
We love you. We
thank
do,
you.
Truly. And we love all of our friends who listen, and we love... We love the opportunity to have these conversations. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I cannot wait until we're all together again. I'll see you then.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.